Picture this. You are on your first solo cross country. You have been flying for about an hour, the sectional is folded on your kneeboard, and you are 15 miles out from your destination. You punch the frequency into the radio, you key the mic. You give your position report, and the controller comes back with N732 Papa Hotel, standby. And you think, does that count? Did I just get in? Am I legal to enter? I'm Pattern, and you're listening to Traffic Pattern on Radio Hangar. Today we are talking about Class D airspace, the airspace that wraps around most towered airports in this country, and the radio call that every student pilot needs to have locked down before they get anywhere near one. This is fundamental. This is checkride territory. And more importantly, this is the kind of thing where getting it wrong can get you a violation. Before we get into it, quick thank you to our friends at AviationSoul.com. They make challenge coins for every step of the journey. Got your first solo? There's a coin for that. Private pilot? Instrument? Commercial? They have got you covered. Great way to mark the milestones that matter, AviationSoul.com. All right, let us start from the ground up. Class D airspace. If you have opened a sectional recently, you know it is depicted with blue dashed lines. Not solid blue like Class Bravo, not solid magenta like Class Charlie. Blue dashed. That distinction matters, and it is going to show up on your knowledge test. Class D typically extends from the surface up to 2,500 feet above the airport elevation. The exact ceiling is shown on the sectional in brackets near the airport symbol. You will see something like 2.5 in brackets. That is the ceiling in hundreds of feet MSL. So if the airport sits at 900 feet and you see 25 in brackets, the Class D ceiling is 2,500 feet MSL. Always reference the chart. Do not guess the lateral boundary is typically 4 to 5 nautical miles from the airport. But the shape is drawn on the sectional, and it is not always a perfect circle. Some Class D airports have cutouts or irregular boundaries depending on terrain, traffic patterns, and surrounding airspace. Check the chart. Now, here is the critical thing. The thing that trips up students constantly and honestly catches some experienced pilots too. To enter Class D airspace, you do not need a clearance. You need to establish two-way radio communication. That distinction matters enormously. In Class Bravo, you need an explicit clearance. The controller has to say cleared to enter Class Bravo. In Class Charlie, you need to hear your call sign acknowledged before entry. In Class Delta, the standard is two-way communication, and two-way communication is considered established the moment the controller acknowledges your transmission using your aircraft call sign. That is the rule under FAR 91.129. Prior to entering Class D airspace, you establish two-way radio communications with the ATC facility having jurisdiction over that airspace, then maintain those communications while you're in it. So back to our scenario, controller says N732 Papa Hotel, standby, that counts. They used your call sign, two-way communication is established. You may continue inbound, but if the controller comes back with aircraft calling, standby, that does not count. They did not use your call sign. They acknowledge that someone is out there calling, but they have not identified you specifically. That is not two-way communication in the regulatory sense. You cannot enter yet. This actually happens. Controllers are busy. If they cannot take your full call in the moment, sometimes they will just toss out a generic acknowledgement to let you know they heard something. That generic call does not open the door for you. The practical implication is this. If you get aircraft calling standby, you hold outside the airspace. You continue your orbit or your holding turn. You wait. When the frequency clears up, you try again. You give your full position report, and this time when they come back with your N number, that is your green light. This is exactly why the early call-out matters. Make contact at 15 miles, give yourself the buffer, do not wait until you are 2 miles from the boundary with a tower frequency that is saturated and no room to maneuver. Let me talk about what a good initial call actually looks like, because this is where students stumble the most. Before you make your first call, get the OTIS. Automatic Terminal Information Service, or ATIS, is a continuous broadcast of current weather and airport conditions. The frequency is on the sectional and in the chart supplement. Get it. Note the information identifier, that is the phonetic letter cycling through Alpha, Bravo, Charlie, Delta, telling you which recording is current. Your initial call to the tower should include your aircraft type, your N number, your position, your altitude, your intentions, and the OTI's identifier. Something like this, Riverside Tower, Cessna 172, N732, Papa Hotel, 15 miles east, 2500, inbound for landing with information Delta. That is one call. That gives the controller your call sign so they can identify you, your type, so they know your performance characteristics, your position and altitude so they know where to look, your intentions so they can sequence you, and the OTI's identifier confirming you have current conditions. Here is something I wish someone had told me when I was training. Do not rush the call. Talk at a pace where each piece of information lands clearly. Controllers hear hundreds of calls a day, and they are good at parsing them. But if you key the mic and fire everything off at 200 words per minute because you are nervous, you're going to have to say it again. Practice the call before you pick up the mic. Brief yourself on it. Say it out loud in the cockpit before you key up. Get the rhythm. Then key the mic and say it exactly that way. You're going to blank once. You're going to stumble over your own call sign. That is going to happen. Every pilot has done it. The controller has heard far worse. What matters is that you're working to do it right. And with repetition, it becomes completely natural. Now let us talk about the shape of Class D in a little more detail, because the chart picture is more complex than just a circle. Many Class D airports have extensions. These are depicted as dashed blue lines extending outward from the main airspace boundary, typically in the direction of the instrument approach course for the primary runway. The purpose is to give the tower controller jurisdiction over traffic on final approach, even if that traffic has not yet entered the standard 4 to 5 mile circle. If you're shooting a straight-in approach from 12 miles out, you may fly through an extension before you reach the main Class D boundary. That extension is still Class D communication requirements apply. Do not assume you are in uncontrolled airspace just because you are outside the main depicted ring. Check the chart. And look above Class D, often you will find Class Echo airspace beginning right where Class Delta ends. That is by design. The airspace system is layered and those layers connect. Understanding how they stack on each other is part of reading a sectional fluently. Let me talk about what happens when the tower closes, because this catches pilots off guard. Most Class D airports are not 24-hour operations. The tower has published hours in the chart supplement. When the tower is closed, the Class D designation goes away. The airspace typically reverts to Class Echo or Class Golf, depending on the airport. This matters for night flying and early morning operations. I have had students planning cross countries who expected to arrive after published tower hours, assuming they could still raise the tower. If the tower is closed, there is no one there. That Class D airport is now operating as an uncontrolled airport. The chart supplement will show tower operating hours in Zulu time. Be careful with the time zone conversion, especially when daylight saving is in effect. Do the math before you file. When you arrive at a formerly Class D airport with the tower closed, the procedures change. You self-announce on the Common Traffic Advisory Frequency, or CTAF. That frequency is in the chart supplement and often depicted on the sectional near the airport. At towered airports, the CTAF is frequently the same as the tower frequency. When the tower is closed, you use that same frequency to broadcast your position. Self-announce calls include your aircraft type, call sign, position, and intentions. Something like Riverside Traffic, Cessna 172 N732 Papa Hotel, entering left downwind runway 22, Riverside. You are not asking permission. You are broadcasting your position so other traffic knows you are there. Let me cover equipment requirements, because the airman certification standards will expect you to know these cold. Class D airspace requires an operating transponder with Mode Charlie, which is the pressure altitude encoding capability. The regulation is FAR 91.215. It also requires ADS-B out, which became mandatory as of January 1, 2021. Nuance worth knowing: the Mode Charlie veil, the 30 nautical mile ring around major Class Bravo airports where Mode Charlie is required, sometimes overlaps with Class D surface areas. In those cases, the Mode Charlie and ADS-B requirements from the veil regulation apply even if the Class D requirements would not independently trigger them. They are separate rules, both in effect. Now, the pilot certification piece, which is a question examiners like to ask. Student pilots can fly in Class D airspace. There is no minimum certification level. However, a student flying solo needs to check their logbook endorsement. Solo endorsements from your CFI will specify airspace limitations, and a student with an endorsement covering operations at one Class D airport is not automatically authorized to fly into a different one. Talk to your instructor before expanding solo cross-country operations to new towered airports. Get the specific endorsement. Here is the broader point I want to make before we close. The airspace system is not just a series of regulatory hurdles. It is a protection structure. Class D exists to give tower controllers the authority to sequence traffic and maintain separation at busy airports. When you make that initial call 15 miles out, you're entering a managed environment where someone is watching your movement and the movement of every other airplane in the pattern. That is not a burden, that is a service. The controller, once they have acknowledged your call sign, now knows you are there. They are going to factor you into every sequence decision they make until you're on the ground. That is a real safety layer, and you access it with one radio call. Let me leave you with a scenario to test your understanding before you go. You are approaching a Class D airport. You call the tower at 15 miles with your full position report. The frequency is busy. After about 30 seconds, you hear aircraft calling, standby. 5 minutes pass. The frequency opens up. The controller comes back, aircraft calling, say again, you give your full position report. The controller responds, N732 Papa Hotel, report left base for runway 22. At what moment was two-way communication established? Not when they said aircraft calling standby, that was generic, no call sign. It was established the moment the controller said, N732 Papa Hotel, report left base, that used your call sign. That is the regulatory moment. And you were still well outside the Class D boundary when that happened. The system worked exactly as designed. Primary sources today are the FAA Aeronautical Information Manual and the Private Pilot Airman Certification Standards. You can find more at radiohangar.com. I am Pattern. Know what the controller said before you cross that blue dashed line.